When a person has a shaila and he's not sufficiently learned to know what the din is, so the klal is that he has to ask a Rebbe, Aseh l'charav. Some of the Rishonim who list off which are the 613 mitzvahs count this as one of the mitzvahs Aseh. It says, if you don't know what the din is, you come to the Alisa on Amokim, you should go ask a shaila. So some of the Rishonim claim that ask a shaila, if you don't know what the din is, that's one of the Taryag mitzvahs. One of the many shaylas that we all face is, whom should we marry? What should we do for a living? Where should we live? What community? And whom to vote for in elections? These are serious shaylas. If you marry the right girl, she'll keep you in line and make sure that you remain observant. Marry the wrong girl, she won't let you learn, and she'll get you to do avaris and violate all the mitzvahs of Torah. If you do the wrong thing for a living, you can float away from religious observance. There's a mitzvah to participate in elections. The mitzvah is there's a chayvus hishtadlus. We can't just, let's say, a person doesn't feel well. So he's not going to go to the doctor, just going to daven. So we assume that's not the right way to go. We have a chayvus hishtadlus. If a person is on such a high level of Yira Shemayim that he's so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he has less of a chayvus hishtadlus. Let him just dive into the Bashan. But most people are not on such a high level of Yira Shemayim. So you have to do Ishtabas. So whenever you have elections, municipal elections, or national elections, you have to vote for whoever is the best candidate for the Jewish people, or the best candidate for the country. That's another question. How do you decide whom to vote for? So how do you decide who's the best one? So this is also Shaila in Halacha, who is the best candidate, the one who supports abortions, the one who's opposed to abortions, whatever. Who's considered the best? It says Shaila in Halacha. So this is really a question in Halacha. Whom to marry, what to do for a living, where you should live, whom to vote for, and so on. So it's a Shaila you have to ask a Talmud Chacham. So this is what's commonly called, in modern language, this is called Das Torah. In the Gemara, in Chulin, in the beginning of Perek Gid Anoshe, the Tanoim have a machlokes, but the Gid Anoshe only applies on the right leg of the animal, or even on the left leg of the animal. So the Gemara has, one Tana holds only on the right leg, and the Gemara has a discussion, how did he figure that out? Is that Das Torah, or is that Das Neiter? So Das Torah means you can figure it out by reading the Pasuk in the Chumash. Das Neiter means it's a Svara. In modern usage, it has the opposite connotation. Das Torah means there's no source in the Mishnah, there's no source in the Gemara, but you're saying a Svara. So we assume that there's a concept of Das Torah on these areas also, because it is a Shaila L'Halacha. So what does it help that the Talmud Chacham is going to give the answer? What is it, a magical oracle? Like by the Avdi Avodah Zarah years ago, they used to have oracles, and that's Avodah Zarah, that's stupid. What are you asking the Talmud Chacham? The answer is, if the Talmud Chacham knows you very well, he knows your weaknesses and your strengths, and he knows what kind of a girl you need, and he knows the girl well, so he can pass on the Shaila that's a good Shidduch or a bad Shidduch. He can pass on the Shaila if he understands politics well. He can pass on the Shaila whom you should vote for. Or he knows your weaknesses and your strengths. He can pass on the Shaila what you should do for a living, where you should get a job, what community you should live in. But if the Talmud Chacham doesn't know you well, so what are you going to ask on the Shaila? It's like if there's a Shaila of treifus on an animal. So the Talmud Chacham has to know Hilchos treifus, but he has to look at the animal to see what the issue is. You can't paskin on the telephone and shayla on trail. You have to see what it looks like. Or let's say a woman comes with a shayla and hilchas nida. It's a question if it's a maratome, maratome. So if the rabbi is colorblind, You can't see what is going to paskan on the telephone. What do you mean? How can you paskan on the telephone if you're not looking at the marid? So you can't paskan. So the same over here. If the rabbi doesn't read the newspapers, he doesn't know what's going on in politics, how can you tell you who to vote for? So there were rabbanim who used to read the Yiddish newspaper. The Yiddish newspaper used to have all the news from the New York Times, but a week later. And they used to write it often incorrectly. It would mistranslate it. So it's like asking a blind person to paskan on a marid. If the person is litmish in politics, he doesn't understand politics, what are you going to ask him a shayla whom to vote for in the elections? He doesn't know me. So how can he paskan whether I should? He doesn't know me, he doesn't know the girl. How can he paskan whether I should marry the girl or not? Just because the girl is a bastam chacham doesn't always work. You have to know the person, you have to know the boy, you have to know the girl. If the Pesach knows the boy, knows the girl, there's no Betherisha Pesach, there's no Betherisha Gemara about the Shidduch of what to do for a living and so on. So then it's Moshe Lamal Davidayma. Let's say you have a jigsaw puzzle that has 1,000 pieces. And you have 999 pieces, and you're missing 2 pieces. Even if you're missing 5 pieces. Missing 5 pieces all over the place. But if you figured out the other 995 pieces, only missing 5 pieces, you can figure out the rest of the picture without the 5 pieces. So over here also, if you have a Talmud Chacham who knows all the Gemaras, and he knows Shulchan Aruch well, doesn't help, he knows Gemaras. He knows Halacha L'maisa well, and he understands the politics well, or he knows the boy, he knows the girl, he doesn't know all the details, but he knows 995 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, then you can figure out the missing few pieces in the jigsaw puzzle. But if the fellow doesn't know so much Gemara, he knows a ton of Gemara, but he doesn't know Yeridah, he doesn't know Shulchan Aruch, he's not Oisik and Psak Halacha L'maisa, just to say Svaris. That's not called Astar. Astar means the person who knows the 995 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle can figure out the missing pieces. When Rav Chaim Oizer passed away in the middle of the Second World War, so Rav Lezer Silver was the president of the Agudas Rabbanim at that time, and he was very close to Rav Soloveitchik, so that he organized a convention of the Agudas Rabbanim in Cincinnati. That's where he lived, in Cincinnati, and he asked Rav Soloveitchik to deliver a hesped. Rav Soloveitchik at that time spoke about this topic of Das Torah, and it was printed at that time, and then it was reprinted many years later. So Rav Soloveitchik, the title of that hesped was Nose HaTzitz VeHaChoshen. The Kaigodl used to wear the tzitz over here on his forehead, on his hair, according to Tyson's one opinion, and he used to have the choshen on his heart. So Rav Soloveitchik developed the whole theme that the same individual who wore the tzitz on his brain that helped him figure out how to pass on Halacha L'maisa Shailas would wear the choshen on his chest. We used to ask the Choshen Shailas, should we go to battle? Should we wage war against the enemy? And how should we wage the war? Should we attack to the east or to the west? How should we proceed? So Rav Soloveitchik said that by the Jewish people, for many, many generations, the Talmid Chachamim used to be those who would pass on the Shailas and Halacha with their brains, and then they would pass on the political Shailas, Ha'elech L'machama or not, because they understood politics well, and that was what we call now Das Torah. Rav Soloveitchik said when he left Europe, he came to America, well, as long as he was in Europe, he never heard of that expression, Das Torah. It's a recent invention. This term, Das Torah, is a recent invention, but that's what it means. So he said that Talmud Chacham Rav Chaim Oizer was known as a brilliant man, not only in learning, he was the Pesach of the modern Pesach in the recent years. Died by 1940, but he also understood politics very well. But there were a lot of things that Rav Chaim Oizer cannot predict. Take, for example, Rav Soloveitchik, when he was in university in Berlin, his parents moved to America, so he couldn't talk about it with his father. He's going to talk on a telephone, it would cost $1,000. It was a fortune to call a long distance. So he would travel sometimes to Vilna to talk and learning with Rav Chaim Oizer. All the yeshiva guys would talk to Rav Chaim Oizer and learning. He was strong in learning in Pilpul, and he was strong in Psak Halacha in both. So Rav Soloveitchik said on one occasion he was discussing with Rav Chaim Eiser what everyone was discussing at that time, the possibility of Hakamas HaMedina, establishing a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, he remembers Rav Chaim Eiser took the palm of his hand like this, and he said, when hair will grow on the palm of my hand, then there's going to be a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. That was the furthest thing from his mind. That was the furthest thing from anybody's mind. And then in 1948, they made Hakamas HaMedina. Chaim Eiser was the big genius in politics. No one ever thought there's going to be Hakamas HaMedina. And similarly, when the Miri Yeshiva took the Transcontinental Railroad from Kovnen to Vladivostok, and then they went to Honolulu, and then they went wherever, so Chaim Eiser was opposed. He thought that that the Russians were going to stop them in Siberia and let them run away in Siberia. He recommended they shouldn't go. And the people who went against Rav Chaim Eiser. They didn't listen to him. And they were Nitzel. And those stayed behind were killed by the Nazis. So they asked Rav Zalig Epstein, Chaim Lebrach, they asked the Rav, how did you go against Rav Chaim Eiser? What about Das Torah? So he said, Das Torah didn't exist then. No one ever heard of Das Torah. It did exist, but the Second World War, no one thought that's going to, no one imagined, everything went cockeyed there. Hakam Samadina, everything was Lamaila Minatera. No one could have figured that out. We're talking about normal things. So Das Torah is an Indian, by a Shidduch, by election, by these kind of things. You have to ask a Talmud Chacham, you have to present to the Talmud Chacham all the pros and cons, and he has to understand the political issues. And then it's like one who knows 995 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, he can figure out the remaining five pieces, what the rest of the picture is supposed to be. But if you're going to talk to a Talmud Chacham who doesn't understand politics at all, he doesn't know human nature, doesn't understand anything, that's not called Das Torah. You can ask for a bracha on the shidduch, but they ask the Rebbe whether I should marry the girl, he doesn't know the boy, doesn't know the girl. I don't know the boys in my class in the yeshiva, I don't know them well enough to recommend at all for a shidduch. All the shidduchim should be with mazel, but I wouldn't recommend yes or no. I don't know them well enough. I don't know the girls at all. What shaykh? That's not Das Torah. Whenever one asks a shayla of the Talmud Chacham, so the Gemara says, Aseil HaRab is supposed to follow the Psak, even if you think that it doesn't make sense. Afila Yvinshu small, while small showing you. It doesn't mean that the Psak is binding, even if it's an error that we spoke about the other day. Herman Book taught literature in Yeshiva College for 2 years, it was before my time. And he wrote the book, Became Mutiny, that there was a ship. And the sailors on the ship rebelled against the captain on the ship. And his grandfather was a rabbi in the Bronx. His grandfather had a little shtiebel near my grandparents' home. I used to daven down the block from his grandfather's shtiebel. So he learned with his grandfather. He was a religious man. He used to learn Daf Yomi, the end of his life for many years. I don't think he's alive anymore. Herman Book. He'll be well over 100 if he's still, I don't think he's still alive. If he is, I may have asked him, but so he said the theme of his book is based on the Rashi and Chumash. Sasa mekoladova shegid lecha yom in a small afil amin lecha yomin shu small al shmoso yomin, that the psak is binding even if it's an error. That's what he said. So that was the theme of the book. The Kain Mutiny is based on that Rashi and Chumash. Rashi is quoting a sifrei afil amin shu small al shmoso yomin. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs was the first one to raise the issue that cannot be. There is no such thing. The opening Mishnah in Hoiria says explicitly, even if all 71 members of the Bez Nagoro give a psak, and there's someone who knows that they're absolutely wrong, we know that the psak is wrong, so it says you're not allowed to listen to the Bez Nagoro if they're making a mistake. The psak is only binding if it's correct. If it's an error, it's not binding, there's only one. From the 613 mitzvahs, there's only one area in Halacha where the Psak is binding, even if it's an error, and that's by Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah, you're learning Rosh Hashanah. As the Pasuk says, Ela Meyadei Hashem, Ashatikra also Nikroikevish and Parsha Semor, and that pasuk appears three times. And all three times the word Osam is spelled Chasavav. Usually Osam is spelled Alavav Tov Mem. Here all three times it's spelled Atem, Alav Tov Mem. And our tradition has it that the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a difference between the words Moshe Rabbeinu and that of Shah Nevin. It says in Parshas Bahaloscha, and the Rambam has one of the 13 Ikori Emunah. The Rambam has two Ikori. We believe in Nevuah. There were those philosophers who felt that it's impossible to have Nevuah. There's no way to have communication between the infinite God and finite man. How can they? They're on different levels. It's not shy to communicate. So we believe that there is such a thing. Nevuah is possible. And included in the belief of Nevuah is a belief that there's room for Tefillah. God communicates with man as Nevuah. Man communicates with God as Tefillah. So we believe that there can be communication. And the Rambam has another Ikar and Emunah. We believe Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level than that of the other prophets. So what does that mean? That's the Psukim and Parshas Bahaloscha. Lo kein avnei Moshe b'chol beis edemenu. Pel, pel, dababam. What exactly was that? So what it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only prophet who was given mitzvahs l'doiris. That's what the Rambam interprets in the Mishnah Gidon Asher. And even though the mitzvah of Gidon Asher was given to Yaakov Avinu, but it was only given as a Hayruah Shor. It only became binding with Doiris when it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Even though the mitzvah of Bris Milah was given to Avram Avinu, it was only given to Avram Avinu as a Hayruah Shor. It was only binding with Doiris because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. No other prophet other than Moshe Rabbeinu was given Torah. The other prophets were given Nevuah. Nevuah, by definition, means Hayruah Shor. To get a din l'doiris, that's only Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's one aspect of the difference between Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and Nevuah of Shaar HaNevi'im. Another difference is what it says in the Psukim. Any other Navi gets a vision in a dream, and he has to interpret the vision that he had using his own words. And the Gemara says, Ein shnei nevim misnavim misignanecha. No two people speak exactly alike, even if they're identical twins. They think differently, they speak differently. So if you have two prophets who say the same nevuah word for word, the Gemara says, either one is a liar or both are liars. It cannot be that they both, even if they're shown the same vision, it's not going to be that two people are going to say in the same words, using the same terminologies, say what the prophecy was. But Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was not Amare Achabom Achazon. Lo kein avnei Moshe pe'al davar HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave direct dictation, word for word, to Moshe Rabbeinu and letter for letter. The Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was not Achazon and Achabom and Amare. That's Shaar Nevi'im. But Moshe Rabbeinu was given a Hayruah Shor. He was given a Achazon and Achabom. But when he was given a din l'doiris, then he was given direct dictation, word for word, and letter for letter. The Gemara has sometimes, this is one of the psukim, every so often the Gemara has a drasha on the fact that the word is sometimes spelled Nechomish Lale, sometimes spelled Chosid Tahor, normally spelled Tesei Vav Reish, once in a long while spelled Tesei Reish, so the Tanoim have a drasha. Why is it spelled Chosir? Or the word Kadosh is usually spelled Kuf Dalet Vav Shin, once in a long while spelled without a Vav. So the Tanoim have a drasha. Why is it spelled with that? So here it says, El Me'ad Hashem, Ashetikro Osam. So the word Osam is written Chasavav, so the Tanoim darshan Atem. Atem Afilu Mutim, Atem Afilu Nizidna, Atem Afilu Shagigin. Even if the Bez made a mistake within certain bounds, we say the Kiddush HaChodesh Eschal. You can't have a month with less than 29 days or more than 30 days. Any given month in the Jewish calendar is either 29 days or 30 days. So if the Bez made a mistake, they made it 30 days, it should have been 29, or 29 should have been 30. So the Kiddush HaChodesh is Chal, even if it's a mistake. Or if this year doesn't really need Iber HaShanah. So you can have any given year in the Jewish calendar, you can either have 12 months or 13 months. You can't have 11 months, and you can't have 14 months. So if the Bez Magog decided to make Topshin Pei Beis HaShanah Pshuta, and it really should have been HaShanah Muberes, then it is a bit Yevet, it's good. So that's one and only place of all the 613 mitzvahs. It's one and only mitzvah where Herman Hook is right. That the psaka, the bezna, is binding even if it's an error. But the other 612 mitzvahs, there is no such thing. Authority is not binding when it's an error. So why is the authority binding? Human beings are fallible. Human beings make mistakes. So why is the psak of any rabbi bending? Maybe he's making mistakes. So the answer is, the Gemara says, the answer is a pasuk of Tehillah. So Hashem Nireyos. We assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us a yait to the Shmai, to the Talmud Chacham, that he shouldn't make a mistake. So we assume, if the person whom you ask is the Yirei Shamayim, so Hashem Nireyos, not enough, the Talmud Chacham has to be a Yirei Shamayim. And the Gemara says he should be more humble than everybody else. The Gemara says we pasken like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai because they were more humble than the Beis Shammai. It doesn't make Beis Shammai very arrogant, but the more humble the person is, so the better a chance is that he's going to get more of a siyata d'shmaya, the pasken d'shaymas. So the psakim are binding because we assume the Talmud Chacham is given a siyata d'shmaya to pasken properly. The Gemara comments on the pasuk. The Gemara says, "What do you mean, Hashem imoy? Shalachik kemoisa b'chol mokan." It says by Shol, "He and Shol marshia b'chol derachim." Shol used to make mistakes in Pesach Halacha, and David HaMelech didn't make mistakes. Why? Because Hashem imoy, he had a siyak to Ishmaya to pasken properly. But that siyak to Ishmaya only comes. Rabban Shalom is not going to make a nice nigla. As the pasuk says, "Vayiftach Hashem espiha asayin." You have a rabbi who doesn't know how to read Hebrew. So the Baruch Shalom is going to make a miracle. He's going to come up with the right psak. The Baruch Shalom is not going to make a nice nigla. If the rabbi is a learned person and he knows how to look up the din and it's reasonable, so then the Baruch Shalom will give him a siyak to the Shmai and he should say the right psak. But if the rabbi is a namor, it's gomer. The Baruch Shalom is not going to make a miracle that's boilet, a nice nigla that's going to figure out what the din is that night. That's the magic. The magical oracles that the Roman of the Avodah Zarah believed in, they would follow such an oracle. But by us, we only follow if a Seilach HaRav is, if the Rav is knowledgeable, if he's a Talmud Chacham and he's intelligent and he's in Reish HaMayim, so Hashem Nireyot, then the Psak is binding. We assume that the person will get a Siyat HaShmach. So there is a concept of Das Torah, but it only applies if it's a Shaila in politics. It only applies if the person is reading the newspapers and he's following all the news, everything that's happening. He used to be the Rosh Hashiva, the founding Rosh Hashiva in Kerem Yavne. He used to be Rav Goldberg, Zichron Lebracha. So every year he would come, for many years, he would come to America to raise money for the yeshiva, to visit his alumni, and whenever he would be in the yeshiva university, so he would go visit Rabbi Soloveitchik and talk to him. So they wouldn't, I don't think they talked in learning, they talked about Israeli politics. So he said it was uncanny. Rav Soloveitchik didn't visit Eretz Yisrael. He only visited Eretz Yisrael once, 1935. Since then he didn't visit Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Goldberg would talk to him about Israel. He said he was mamish on the nail. He touched up every politician in Eretz Yisrael why he took that position. And they used to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik, how does he know? He doesn't know these people. He said, Father taught me how to read in between the lines. Not only how to read in between the lines in the Chumash and in the Gemara, how to read in between the lines when politicians say something and they quote them in a newspaper, he would always analyze what motivated him to say that. Can't be this, can't be that, must be this. Rabbi Goldberg said it was unbelievable. He hadn't been in Eretz, Rabbi Soloveitchik hadn't been in Eretz since 1935. There were different politicians. He never met these people. He never met them in America either. But he knew how to size up what they were talking about. So if he asks such a person, he knows a lot of Gemara, and he knows a lot of Shulchan Aruch, the Paskin, and he understands politics, what's going on. So then there's a concept of Das Torah. But if a person is not into politics, that's like a ask a Shaila Anamara. Anisha has a Shaila Anamara. He asks a blind person. How can he Paskin? He's not looking at the Shaila. He asks a blind person a Shaila Treifus. If you can't look at the Shaila and the Treifus, he has the right to pass the Navi also. He's not looking at the Shaila. If he doesn't understand politics, if you don't understand too much about the boy, about the girl, how can you give an Eitzah whether he should marry the girl? How can you give a Psak? You're not looking at the Shaila. You're not entitled to a position. So that's the idea of Das Torah. I remember for many years the OU used to have a convention every other year on Thanksgiving weekend. Now, Gudi used to have a convention every year on Thanksgiving weekend. So I remember this hesped that Rav Soloveitchik delivered about Rav Chaim Moshe, about the Nosei Hatzitz and the Nosei choshen that traditionally by the Jewish people, the same Talmid Chacham who had paskin with his mind and halachas would be machriya on political issues. And then the maskilim tried to change it. They made fun of the rabbanim, just keep their noses in the Gemara and we're going to do all the politics. Maskilim understand better because they're men of the world and they read the newspaper and they understand. But the rabbanim don't understand. Rav Soloveitchik said that it was unfortunate because the maskilim were not B'nai Torah. And he said Rav Chaim Eiser was both. He was the Noisei Hatzitz and the Noisei HaChashon. So I remember one of the speakers, when that essay was reprinted, it wasn't available for many. So when that essay was reprinted in one of the books of Rav Soloveitchik's collected rushes, so someone gave a talk, he just said over the toichen of that hesed at the OU convention. So after he completed his presentation, so someone raised his hand and he said, I never heard of this hesed. He thinks it's a forgery. Never heard of it, it can't be. Rav Soloveitchik didn't believe in Das Torah. So the one who was speaking didn't know. Someone else said, no, it was printed in Hapardes in 1940. It was reprinted in Rabbi Mexico, reprinted it. It existed. The Hesped was available. So then this fellow from the audience didn't like it. So he said, and maybe Rav Soloveitchik believed in Das Torah at the time that Rav Chaim Eiser passed away, but he certainly changed his mind. In the late years, he didn't believe in Das Torah. Why? So he said that he, this person from the audience said, he was involved in the SSSJ, student struggle for Soviet Jewry, triple SJ, when they were trying to free the Jews, let my people go, get the Jews to free from Russia. So many European rabbanim were opposed to any demonstrations in America because they understood that it's going to make the situation worse for the Jews in Russia because they're going to react to the demonstrations negatively against the Jews. So this fellow had asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, should we listen to those rabbanim or should we go ahead and have the demonstrations? Rabbi Soloveitchik asked, is there any expert on criminology? Is there anybody who's an expert in this field who knows how the Soviets are thinking? So he said, there's a professor at Columbia University. That's what he teaches. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, try to bring him to my apartment. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to stay in the dormitory in the yeshiva when he came to New York. He lived in Boston. He used to commute every week. I'd like to meet with him. So one Rabbi Soloveitchik used to come in on Tuesday and used to go back on Wednesday night. So they brought someone in on Tuesday night, an expert in criminology. And he said that right now the Russian government is very sensitive to public opinion. And if you make demonstrations, it'll be very good for the Jews because they'll have to let the Jews go. So they thanked him. He was explaining. So the professor left. They took him by taxi and they took him back to his apartment by taxi. So then Rabbi Soloveitchik said, okay, go ahead and make all the demonstrations, the professor says. So this fellow from the audience said, you see, the Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't believe in Das Torah. So the speaker said, what do you mean? He was the Das Torah. The Das Torah has to hear what the expert has to say. The expert tells you what the facts are. And if you hear what the facts are, and you weigh and measure the whole story. So the Rabbi Soloveitchik was the Das Torah. Das Torah is only the European rabbis who don't read the New York Times, only those who read the Yiddish newspaper. He was the Das Torah. That doesn't mean he didn't believe in Das Torah. Das Torah is certainly something that should be considered, but it's not a magical oracle. It's something that makes sense. If the Talmid Chacham, it's the mashal with the jigsaw puzzle. If the Talmid Chacham has 995 pieces from the puzzle, and the 5 pieces are missing, that as Ken Oishtoysen, he can figure out what are the 5 pieces that are missing. But if he doesn't know anything about the whole case, he doesn't know the facts, and he doesn't know the psychology, and he doesn't know the philosophy. So he's not looking at the case, not looking at the shan. That is what Das Torah is all about. Okay, open the floor for discussion or questions.
With regards to the deal with the Soviet Jews and stuff like that, you know, today, you know, obviously the Soviet Union doesn't exist, but, you know, there are still some Jews in captivity, you know, and what, you know, is something that, you know, you would recommend for us to do to help world Jewry today?
I'm not. What would I recommend to help all the Jews all over the world? You have to ask someone who reads the newspaper every day. I read the kids from the New York Times. I don't read the arichas. You have to have someone who's really in the inyan. I'm not qualified to give a recommendation. Sure, we have to listen. It's a shaila, and we get a psak from the tamachach. It has to be a qualified tamachach. Then the psak is binding. We assume that he had a siyata d'shmaya to pass him properly. But he's not going to have a siyata d'shmaya if he doesn't understand the whole issue. So that's like a neis nigla. A bunch of them is not going to make a neis nigla. Chacham Avadia did a fantastic thing by having the Shas party. He made Mamash at Chiyas HaMeisim on the Sfardim as far as learning is concerned. And he got the government to support much of the Shas party has a network of yeshivas all over the country. A lot of the yeshivas that are sponsored by Shas are attended to by Ashkenazim, not by Sfardim. But the Sfardim, because of his activities in the government, he got more learning in Eretz Yisrael. Pesach Lerner from the used to be a National Council Young of Israel started his own party here, Eretz HaKodesh. I think he got 25 seats in the Knesset the first time he had anybody run. Fantastic, unbelievable. And now he's controlling the Jewish agency. Other religious people, B'nai Torah, can accomplish a lot. We should get all of the religious people in Eretz Yisrael years ago. There was encouragement to have Chazit Datit, to have one unified position for all the religious Jews. Because if you have Mizrahi and Aguda and Shas and every organization, so every organization loses a seat here and there because they don't have enough votes for some of these seats. But if they're all joined together, then they won't be losing all those seats. They'll have more seats. So some of the Rabbanim said, no, Mizrahi is so trade, you're not allowed to join with Mizrahi, even at the expense of losing seats. And I remember Rav David Lipschitz said that was not, he was complaining. He used to go, Rav David Lipschitz from Yeshiva, used to go to Eretz Yisrael almost every summer and get involved in politics. He was pushing for Chazit Datit. Many rabbis were pushing for. And he was very upset. Why are all these kanoim were doing against it? All the religious organization, all the religious parties should really join together. They'll have more seats in the Knesset. They'll have more say in running the government. We really should, those who live in Israel, really should get involved in the politics, but they should all join together and do it in a reasonable way, in a sechadik way, so you'll accomplish something. Stop just to make mahlokes, that's ridiculous. But if you think there's room to accomplish, then you should do it. I didn't know Reb Chaim Kanievsky that well. I had little shaychas with him, not too much shaychas with him. But somehow they said he knew what was going on even in the Bezel Shamayla. All the stories that came out after he passed away, two of the stories are true. He knew what was going on in heaven, so he knew what was going on here also. They don't tell those stories about me. After I died, they're not going to tell those stories about me either. He apparently knew more than we think he knew.
How involved is Rabbi Fink that we need to be involved as Bechor Yeshiva? Like, we're supposed to be learning now. How involved are we supposed to be? Are we supposed to be our Maseilas B'Tumo? Are we supposed to be talking to each other about politics? Are we supposed to be talking about Torah? How involved are we supposed to be?
The boys shouldn't get involved. They should learn Torah. But when it comes to an election, if you're old enough to have a vote, you should ask your Rabbanim. And the Rabbanim should all join together. If they're not going to join together, you're going to split all the efforts, then you're going to lose seats in the government. But if all of the religious groups join together, then they have a tremendous kayach. They can run the whole country. There was a period of time before a few years before the Second World War, that the Aguda in Poland, Aguda was like Democrats and Republicans in America. Like in America, you saw that Aguda is a political party. So Aguda was a political party in Poland. They had a representative in the parliament, the Reish Rav, who was later killed by the Nazis, Rabbi Aaron Levine, his grandson, taught in YU, Aaron Levine, whose name left him, was my first cousin. And there was a period of time, a year or two, that they joined the coalition, the government, they were running the country in Poland. Rabbi Tenma says jokingly, that's why the Polish government collapsed. Because the Aguda was running the government in the coalition government. But so in Eretz Yisrael, the Aguda with the Mizrahi, with all of the religious organizations, with the Eretz HaKodesh, they have to all join together, they can run the whole country. They should.
Does that also mean that they're supposed that Igor Bonnet should state their political opinions? It should be known?
Yeah.
They should be known.
And they should guide the Talmidim. They should all vote for the same candidates. The Gemara, the first half in the Sota, seems to say that there's only one Basheret. The Rambam and the Hakadamah to Pirkei Avos, what we call the Shemayna Prokim, we don't have a better title for it, it has eight chapters. So the Rambam says in the Shemayna Prokim that whom you marry is not Exerim and Hashemayim, there's no such thing as Basheret. Because the Pielion or Seitzer HaRoes Fatayim and Hashemayim, they're not Gezer that you should do mitzvahs Averis. That's what Yud Chir Chavshis is all about. So if you're going to marry a nice former girl who's going to keep you in line, then the Minashamayim they sing to it that you're going to keep mitzvahs. You're going to marry a girl who's a marshas, and she's going to cause you to do averus. So that's Minashamayim. They're not going to be grosser that you should be a tzaddik or rosh. A tzaddik or rosh, a loika omar, so cannot be. So on the bottom of the page, in the Shemayna Prokim, in the Gemaras, so they quote Rabbi Yankee Tam, and they say this against the Gemara. The Gemara says, there is Basher. So they give the answer, the Meiri, on the first half in Sota says that the Gemara says that there's a difference between Zivik Rishon and Zivik Sheni. Zivik Rishon is Basheret Min HaShemayim, Zivik Sheni is Lefi Maisov. So what's the definition of Zivik Rishon and Zivik Sheni? So we usually assume Zivik Rishon means the first marriage, Zivik Sheni means a second marriage if you got divorced or the first wife died. So the Meiri understands, according to the Rambam, it doesn't mean that Zivik Rishon means if the boy and the girl get married at the very young age, the boy is just barely bar mitzvah and the girl is only 12 years old. So that's Min HaShemayim. But if you get married at the age of 20 or 22, that's already, we're all Zivik Sheni. The Rambam got married in his 30s, I think. So the Rambam says, nothing is Min HaShemayim. They didn't get married at the Zivik Rishon age of 12 or 13. They got married 19, 20, 25, 35. So the Rambam says, everything is Zivik Sheni. The stipula, after he passed away, they published a collection of letters. Krina de Igarta. So one of the letters they have there about this Basheret, so someone thought that if a Shidduch is going difficult, that there are difficulties, stumbling blocks in the dating of the girl, then must be that it's not Basheret. If it goes smoothly, then it's Basheret. So the stipler writes, you probably met your Basheret and you decided not to marry her by mistake. And now you're going to marry like Zivik Sheni. It doesn't always mean that you're going to marry the Basheret. The Gemara says someone else can take away your Basheret if he's mispala hard. The Gemara says if someone will daven, he sometimes can break this gzeira, and the girl who was intended for me may be grabbed up by somebody else. Or maybe I rejected her. I was a fool. I dated the girl, and I should have married her, and I didn't have seichos, and now I'm fishing around for a different girl. You don't always marry the girl who is Basher to you. If it's Zivik Sheni, or someone, Shemir Kadmen Achav Birachnim, someone else, Chabbais, the girl by his tefillas, or I messed it up, I made a stupid mistake, I decided not to marry the girl. So then I have to marry the girl who's not Basher.
Is that girl only five? Question
with
Adam and Eve, even if there was a announcement in the community. For example, in a certain community, one of their lines says that everybody should vote for a certain person for the election. That the only in that case, if that's what that's relevant, only when the question is posed by a single person.
I don't hear.
Does that apply only when the question is asked by a certain person to that person or to the whole cloud, the whole seaboard? If a relevant community says that everybody should vote for a certain person, so does that apply there as well?
Same thing. If someone asks me about a shita, that's a private question. They ask about, even if he doesn't ask, the rabbanim say the best candidate is so-and-so, and the way to fulfill the chayvas hishtadlus is by voting for that person, not just by sitting and saying tilim. We should say tilim also, but you have to do hishtadlus. So hishtadlus is to vote for the right candidate. How do you know who's the right candidate? The rabbanim, talmid chachamim, who understand politics, has to be a condition, have to understand politics, have to understand what the shaila is. So if they choose that this is the best candidate, so everybody's mukhaif to listen to that psak. Sometimes you have a psak for individuals, sometimes you have a psak for the whole community.
Does the answer change if we're here in Israel or in
Is there a difference?
Yeah.
I don't think so. We have a chayvus hishtadlus in chutzla, and hishtadlus chayvus hishtadlus. Has to be an honest Talmid Chacham who is a Yireh Shemayim, Tzad Hashem Nireyav, has to be a humble person. If you have all of those, has to be a Pikeach. If he's a fool, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to make a nice nigla that he's going to give the right answer. But if he has all the qualifications and he tells you whom to vote for, then it doesn't make a difference. Eretz Yisrael or Chutz
Lo'ot. Can I do one more question?
Yeah.
What if a person, let's say, in terms of marriage, receives conflicting answers from a woman?
Same question, what if you receive conflicting answers regarding a chicken, whether the chicken is kosher, any shayla? So that's an issue. That's what led the Chachamim to say, we often assume, Eilu v'yeilu divrei elokim chayim. If every time the Talmid Chacham gives a psak, it's binding because we assume he had a siyata d'shmaya to say the right answer. So what do you do if you have a machlek, it's Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, machlek, it's Abai v'Rava. The Rebbe Shalom gave Abai Siyata Dishmaya to say one way, and he gave Siyata Dishmaya to Rabbi to say the other way. So the Rebbe Shalom is talking out of both sides of his mouth. The Gemara says, yes, there's room for both. But Allah and Amai said, there are rules and regulations. How to pass when you have a steer, Father Ray, you have to find out who's Rabbi Mukha. The Gemara talks about it. How do you pass when there's a conflict between the Rabbi? Very good. Have a pleasant evening.
Okay, Rabbi Salovsky will be beginning in here momentarily. For those that didn't see the schedule change, Rav Twersky will close the evening here in the Beis Medrash. Everybody go to their next location.
There's the guy here.